Money, Riches, and Wealth is sponsored by the Financial Consulate.
Say you don't need no diamond rings, and I'll be satisfied. Tell me that you want the kind of things the money just can't buy. I don't care too much for money. Money can buy me love.
This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for Money, Riches, and Wealth. Here's your host, Drew Tignanelli.
This is Drew Tignanelli here, Money, Riches, and Wealth, here with Michael P. McCarthy.
Good evening.
How are you, sir?
I'm doing great, as always.
You're saying there are big storms up there?
Yeah, it's good. I got my umbrella in the station, so I'm ready for when it's time to go back out to the car.
Well, it's beautiful down here, Mikey. Yeah, did
sunshine.
You want to hear that? Anyway, we're here tonight on an open show, Mikey. We're going to take our listeners' calls. They can call in and ask any question they want, 410-922-6680, 410-922-6680, you know, and, you know, maybe you have a topic that's important to you. Maybe you have a Social Security question or a Medicare question, or maybe you have a question about your 401k at work or an IRA or Roth conversions. We've been talking about that. Market's down. That's the time to really think about Roth conversions, because if the market rebounds again, which it will sooner or later, and when it does, the depreciation of your IRA will now be tax-free when it reappreciates in the Roth IRA. And if you don't know what a Roth IRA is or why you should be excited about Roth IRAs, that would be a great question to call in and ask, because I ain't going to explain it to you unless you call in and ask about it. You know, what do you?
So I have a PSA tonight, and we got some one caller on the line that we'll go to soon, but something that pains me greatly. And if everybody who's listening to us that's 65 or older and is on Medicare, if you could just do me a favor to do you a favor, is put your Medicare supplemental plan on auto pay, please. Because it is awfully painful to deal with clients who have let their policy lapse and go through that kind of nightmare, especially once they're significantly older.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, Mike. It should be on auto pay, and you should make sure that there's plenty of cash to continue to pay that.
There's medical underwriting at some point, but let's go right to...
Let me just say, 410-922-6680 if you want to call in. Also, plenty of lines open. Go ahead, Mike.
All right, let's go to Lee in Towson. Lee, how can we help?
I got a couple... A relative recently passed. I'm a beneficiary under a couple of trusts, as well as the estate, and One was a marital deduction trust, and I guess the other was like a, what they call it, a pour over. I'm just wondering, there'll be a step up in basis, I understand, for the marital deduction. How long should it take before there would be a payout under that trust?
Well, wait a minute, you know, because some trusts might get a step up in basis, but a lot of trusts are not going to get a step up in basis, too. So you got to give me more information about the trust as to whether you're going to get a step up or not.
I was told by somebody a while back that one of them would get a step up in basis. Can we just assume that's the case for the one of them?
Well, who'd you inherit it from? A wife?
Brother, right?
Parent?
From my mother.
From your mother. So So a trust that would be in what's called a Q-tip trust for your mother would get a step up in basis. So if it was a marital trust is a term they'll use on it. If it was a marital trust, that will get a step up in basis.
So I guess the question is, how long, you don't have to keep the trust open for 6 months like an estate?
No. You don't have to keep a trust open for 9 months or anything like that. They can liquidate the trust. The trustee can liquidate the trust and disperse it out to you anytime they want to. But the trustee's in charge. They get the, you know, they also have to file the final income tax return for the trust. They've got to do the accounting for the trust, et cetera, make sure any bills are paid. So, you know, it's not something they can do in 2 weeks, but they could certainly do it in 2 months if they wanted to. But it's up to the trustee. They're in charge. You don't have the rights. They have all the rights.
And the personal representatives of the estate, can they collect a percentage on the trust or just on the estate itself?
The personal representative will only get a fee for the probate estate, which does not include the trust assets. Typically,
right.
There are some trusts that would, like a revocable trust, but even that wouldn't under most circumstances.
Okay. Well, I think that addresses it. I appreciate the information.
Thank you for the call.
Yeah, good call. Good questions. Interesting. Where are we at? We're at 612. Let's go to Tom.
All right. Tom, how can we help you?
Okay. Question about wash sale rule and QT. If I sell Ford and I buy General Motors right away, Ford sold at a loss, is that going to be disallowed because I bought something too substantially similar?
No, that's not even closely similar. They're two different companies. They don't do that. If you buy the S&P 500 with Schwab and then you sell it at a loss and buy the S&P 500 index with Vanguard, that's identical, you know, similar.
So two different. If I buy Merck, if I sell Merck and I buy Lilly, no problems.
No problem. But if you buy the S&P 500 and sell it and then buy the total market index, now they're not necessarily the same index, but they follow each other fairly closely, you might have a problem.
Okay, terrific. Now, QT, that's going to go on for a while, according to the Fed. And there's several headwinds, you know, to markets expanding again.
Well, you're going to have to explain to me what QT means. Do you know what it means,
okay.
Mike?
On the Fed's balance sheet.
Quantitative easing, QE.
Quantitative easing.
Yeah, qualitative tightening now.
Oh, yeah. I see what you're saying.
So I'm talking about headwinds.
Were you in the military, Tom? Were you in the military, Tom?
Actually, I lied to the military, yes.
Well, you'd use acronyms like QT and so forth, you know, and all military people, that's all they ever talk in acronyms.
I got you.
You know?
Thank you. I guess that's thank you, yeah.
Quantitative tightening.
You know, most people have had this decades of lowering interest rates, recently easy money, but now it's QT, not QE.
Right.
Major change, headwinds as versus tailwinds to the market, right? So my question, in your experience, qualitative tightening, as it's been described, is going to go on for a while. It's not going to, you know.
Well, actually, it's just starting, actually.
Yeah. How much?
So what we're going to do, Tom, is I'm just going to hang up and I'll answer that when we come back, okay?
Fabulous. Just compared to other headwinds to the market.
Yeah,
how long
I understand. I'll answer that when we come back, okay?
Thank you.
All right, we got to take a pause. We'll be right back. Money, Riches, and Wealth.
This is Drew Tignanelli, host of Money, Riches, and Wealth, Wednesday nights at 6 p.m., doing what a personal financial advisor should do. Is your personal financial advisor your tax expert? Is your financial advisor able to guide your estate plan? Is your financial advisor able to help with college planning, retirement planning, mortgages, Medicare, Social Security, company benefits, or as a comprehensive advisor to business owners? Is your financial advisor independent from brokerage firms or insurance companies? Is your financial advisor unable to take commissions or referral fees in direct conflict of their professional relationship with you? Is your advisor a fiduciary working in your best interest? Despite the commissions and fees you pay, you're unable to answer one question yes. Do our financial physical and experience the difference. We are so confident that the financial physical is unconditionally guaranteed. To learn more, call 410-823-SAVE, 410-823-SAVE, or financialphysical.com.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
We're back, Money, Riches, and Wealth. We're here with Michael P. McCarthy. We're on an open show. If you want to call in, all lines are open as far as I can tell. Yes, Mikey?
Yep, all lines are open. You're the next caller.
410-922-6680 if you want to call in. Maybe you got a question on Social Security or Medicare or Roth conversions or income taxes, and I'll tell you, that's an issue we're going to talk about in a second as soon as I address Tom's question about QT. But we just wanted to give the number out, 410-922-6680, 410-922-6680 if you want to call in and ask a question. But Tom's question was QT, quantitative tightening. So for the last 12 years, the Federal Reserve has been buying U.S. government securities, mortgage-backed securities, et cetera. And they did that because they wanted to try to drive the interest rate lower on the, especially the long-term market and so forth. And that was very successful over the last 12 years. Well, now they've expanded their balance sheet to the point, because keep in mind, when the Fed buys securities, Mike, they're buying it with money made out of thin air.
Right.
And so it's adding cash into the economic system of the United States. And too much cash in the system is what causes inflation. And so over the last 2.5 years, the Federal Reserve literally pumped in an extra like $5 trillion of money they used to purchase securities. And so now that they've caused inflation, they're going to pull it back. They're going to do quantitative tightening. Now, quantitative tightening doesn't worry me as much as, you know, them raising the interest rates and trying to pull back inflation by raising interest rates. Because the reason the Fed raises interest rates, they raise the short end of interest, Mike. And when they raise the short end of interest, it causes the yield curve to flatten. Now, why is that important? Well, think about it. If the 1 year Treasury bill is paying 2%, and the 10 year Treasury bill is paying 2.25%, then anybody who makes a living, like the banks, borrowing short from people and lending long to people, lending 2, 3, 4, 5 years or whatever. And that's how they make their money, is they try to borrow it like 0.5%, lend it out at 2 or 3%. And that's how they make their money. Well, if the short end is equal to the long end, banks don't make a lot of money. Well, guess what happens when that happens? The banks say, hey, we're not going to lend a lot of money to people. Well, if they're not lending money to people, the economy starts to slow down. People start getting laid off, and all of a sudden the demand for goods and services diminish, and boom, you get lower inflation.
So
at least that's the theory.
So the yield curve gets talked about a whole lot. So let's just take a second. For anybody who's not intimately aware of what the yield curve is, picture a bar chart and all those interest rates that Drew just said in order of shortest to longest, 3 month, 6 month, 12 month, 1 year, 3 year, 5 year, 10 year, 15 year, 20 year,
30 year.
Put them all on a bar chart, and ideally, as you move right, the interest rate goes up, and as you move left, the interest rate goes down. And when it's inverted, it goes the other way. That's what often people say will predict a recession or a downturn in the markets.
Yeah, because what's happened is your short-term rates get higher than or equal to your long-term rates, banks stop lending. And that's what the Federal Reserve, that's what worries me more than anything. Quantitative tightening, I'm not too concerned about, because I think that our economy can absorb it, that there are investors out there that'd be, you know, and you got to keep in mind that we went, what, 200 some years without ever doing quantitative easing, and it's only been in the last 10 or 12 years that they did quantitative easing, that they now have to do quantitative tightening. They don't even really have to, but they're going to. And, you know, I'm not too concerned about quantitative tightening. I'm more concerned about the Fed raising interest rates when you have had a supply shock. We had a supply shock. That's the thing. We need to continue to encourage supply growth, not diminish demand as much. We can pull it back a little bit, but, you know, I don't want them to get carried away. Yeah, it's you know, you're going to cause more inflation if you cause the economy to go into a recession, actually, believe it or not, because it's a supply shock we're having. You couldn't get the chips to put in the cars. You couldn't get the cars made because they couldn't get the chips. You couldn't get the lumber to build the house. And the demand for houses was rapidly rising, but you couldn't get the things to build it, to get it to them. And now you got to make up for that. And if you curtail demand just to try to get supply to catch up, you could end up curtailing supply too much that you cause even more inflation in the future.
Right.
Anyway, that's what I'm concerned about. So anyway, we're on an open show tonight, 410-922-6680, 410-922-6680. One of the things that I was dealing with all day today is how unbelievably dysfunctional the IRS is now. It used to be a couple years ago, you would call the IRS, you have a problem, you get somebody on the phone, you'd say to them, here's what's going on. They'd say, okay, this is what you need to do. Send this to us and we'll take care of it. Or they would just take care of it right there. They say, yeah, you know, we can deal with this. Today, the IRS is incredibly dysfunctional. Anybody who's tried to call the IRS probably gets a message that says, we're overwhelmed with calls and we don't have time to take your call, so goodbye. And that's what you get 99% of the time when you call the IRS. We're overwhelmed. We're too many calls. We can't take your call. Click. End of the call. Now, you know why they're overwhelmed with calls, Mike? They're overwhelmed with calls because they're not resolving any issues with people. I spent 8 hours today on a very simple issue that could have been resolved in a relatively short period of time if I could just get an agent who understood what, you know, they all understood it, but they all kept saying, oh, well, I've got to switch you to this department and I got to switch you to that department. And this never happened in the past. It used to be that somebody would hear, you know, and they say, okay, well, this is what we're going to do. That's how we're going to resolve it. Nowadays, it's like they're just incredibly dysfunctional. And they've got to get a way that the phones get answered with people who can deal with the questions and get issues resolved, especially stupid, simple ones like I have. Just think of the amount of people that could be fixing other problems, Mike,
yep,
if they would have just resolved my issue in a relatively short period of time. Uh-huh. That really didn't require that much.
All right. Attention. Well, we're on an open show. You call us next.
Back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Back, Money, Riches, and Wealth. We're on an open show. Nobody's online.
All the lines are open.
All lines are open, 410-922-6680. I don't know what topic I got to talk about that maybe somebody will get excited about. Say, you know, I got to call them in and ask about that, you know. I was talking to the IRS and how difficult that is. And maybe you've got a problem with the IRS you're trying to rectify. We talked about Social Security. Maybe you have a question on that. Medicare. Maybe you have an insurance question. Auto, home, life, long-term care, whatever. You know, if you want to talk about that, maybe you got an investment question. Maybe you have a tax question. Maybe you have a Roth conversion question. That's always a good topic. You need to know what Roth IRAs are about. Everyone needs a Roth strategy. That's an article I wrote about 3 or 4 years ago that encourages everyone to figure out, how can I continue to get more and more of my money into Roth IRAs? And it's critical. Everybody will know that. And the number is 410-922-6680, 410-922-6680. If you want to call in and ask your question, there's always somebody out there that wants to hear the question that you have to ask, 410-922-6680.
So, Drew, we, depending on where someone is in their stage of life, there's all kinds of different sets of advice. So you were just talking about maximizing the money into a Roth. So I think one of the things we haven't talked about for a while is the spousal IRA. So if you have one spouse that's working and one spouse that's not working, you may still be able to make a non-deductible spousal IRA contribution to the non-working spouse that can then convert that to a Roth, which is another great way people should be getting money into Roths.
But that's only for somebody who's making a lot of money, Mike. If they're making over $200,000, you'd have to do that. But if you have a non-working spouse and you make under $198,000, actually, I think this year it's, what, $202,000?
Yep.
If you make under $202,000, you can just put it directly into a Roth every year, $7,000 a year. Anybody who's not doing the $7,000 a year to a Roth, if you're married making less than $202,000, you got any money around, you should be funding your Roth IRAs, or single, you know, you're, I think it's what, 128 this year?
Don't know offhand.
I don't remember. It's, I think it's 128. Anyway, that's the Ross. So let's talk to Wayne there, Mikey.
All right, Wayne and Glen Burnie, how can we help?
Yes, hi. Thank you for taking my call. I had a question for you. If you've dealt with the U.S. Treasury with trying to get your H-bonds cashed, it's terrible. For 2 months, I've tried to call. They always say there's a two-hour wait. You can wait the 2 hours and never talk to anybody.
Yeah, have you registered your bonds? Are they registered electronically, or do you have them in paper?
The paper, and they have to be cashed because they send the IRS, whether you cash them or not, they send that to the IRS for you to pay the taxes on the year that they mature.
Correct.
And the question, do you have any idea how you can work with them? They say it takes 13 weeks to process. Up to
Mike, I think that you can cash those at any FDIC bank, can he?
No, they cannot cash. The banks cannot cash H-bonds. They have to go back to the Treasury.
Well, then the best thing I would do is then try to register them electronically. In other words, go through the process online as to how you send the bonds to them and electronically register them. Once you get an account set up and electronically register them, you could do it all online.
Okay, well, they've been having a lot of problems. That's the first thing they address with blocked accounts. Failed passwords. They've been having problems with their computers.
We've heard too many stories. We get lots of people calling us up about the I-bonds and buying I-bonds, and we're saying to them, well, this is the only way you can do it. You got to go to Treasury Direct and buy them, and then they're calling us up and saying, I can't get through. I can't get an account. I can't do this. They're blocking the account, you know, and so forth. So.
Yeah.
I hear you, my friend. It's but you know, I was just talking about dealing with the IRS. You know, they allowed these workers to be off work for literally a year, and now they're trying to catch up with everything, and it's just not working. You know?
Yeah. Well, it's extremely frustrating because it's been 2 months. It took me 2 months to get through to speak to anyone, and then the excuses are just ridiculous. And you'll just have to wait for whenever they can be processed.
Well, I would try online to register the account and get the bonds off to them to register electronically. That's the best thing I can advise, you know?
Okay.
That's what I would try.
All righty. Okay, well, I appreciate you being there and the wisdom that you all have and how you share it and allow us to learn. So thank you,
Wayne.
Thank you, Wayne. Good call. Good question. We don't have a lot of clients with H-bonds, you know,
that are maturing
and things of that sort, you know, because actually there aren't many left nowadays. They stopped converting H-bonds in 2002, I believe it was. And when that happened, you know, the batch of H-bonds dried up. We got John now, right?
Yep. John in Columbia. How can we help?
Yes, sir. Yeah. Well, I don't know if you loved or hated Rush Limbaugh, but he used to say the goal of every caller should be to make the host look good. So I'm going to try to fulfill my side of the bargain here. I do have a question about Medicare, but first, before you had any callers and you're like, come on, give call about this or that, or what, there was an old SNL skit with a radio guy trying to get people calling, and he ends up advocating for drunk drivers crashing into school buses just to get people to call. So thank you for not going quite that far. I appreciate it.
I'll hit the dump button on his microphone before I let him do that.
Yeah, well, there you go. So the other thing is, but on a serious side, so Medicare, that kind of stuff goes against my philosophy. However, I'm going to turn 65 in a couple of months. So I don't know if you have any, that seems like it's almost like a weekend continuing ed course, just to figure out what the hell to do with that.
You turn 65 when?
October.
In October. Are you still working?
I am.
Okay. Do you have a medical plan?
Well, I'm a real estate agent, self-employed, so I'm still working, but I'm a totally independent contractor. And we have the cheapest insurance in town. Like, if I get leukemia, we don't lose the house, but other than that, cash out.
Well, then you definitely need to go to Medicare, because Medicare and the cost of Medicare and Medigap and Medicare D will all be 100% deductible under your real estate business Schedule C.
Okay.
And Medicare will be the best insurance. Here, listen to me, you know, anybody out there listening, Medicare is the best insurance you will ever have had in the last 50 years. Because about 50 years ago, policies really started to become horrible. And in the last 20 years, they've become ridiculous. But once you go back onto Medicare, for the maximum anyone's going to pay for Medicare, somebody, you know, is going to pay for Medicare is going to be about $8,000 a year. The typical person is going to pay about $3,000 to $4,000 a year. And it's 100% insurance except for $200 a year in doctor's deductible. That's it. It's the best insurance you'll ever have. And you sure should be signing up for Medicare.
Right.
Until August.
Right, until it craps out. But there's one thing. So, I have no doubt that that's the case. I mean, we pay about $600 a month for...
What's your general income? Is your income over $200,000, under $200,000?
It hovers around that on any given year.
Yeah, so your premium for you, are you married?
Yes, happily.
Yeah, so you and your spouse will spend about $180 a month maximum. Well, actually, I should take that back. $230 maximum for Medicare Part B. $150 a month maximum for Medicare supplemental, and another $15 or $20 a month for your Medicare prescription plan. And it's 100% paid. You want to get Medigap Plan G. Always remember that. Medigap Plan G is the plan to get. So,
in 98%.
Who does your auto insurance?
Geico.
Geico, I hate Geico. You should quote. You should quote Erie Insurance, and if Erie works out better than Geico, then you should consider Erie for your Medicare supplemental Medigap policy.
Okay, great. So you said G. I heard G. So let me repeat for clarity on my end. So basically, what I'm hearing you say is that there's a couple of parts that are going to be such no-brainers. And I'm buying those direct from the government, or I'm funding them, or, you know, whatever. I'm contributing a small part and making my kids and grandkids pay the rest. But anyway, so of all the non-federal government-supplied programs, the Medigap stuff, you're saying get the Medigap G. That's the one you want. Don't worry about any of the other Medigap.
You're going to have to hold on for me, and I'm going to do this again with you and explain all Medicare, and it's real easy, and exactly how you're going to do it. Or you can just listen when I come back if you're not waiting for me, okay? You want to hold? And
you know
we got to take a break.
I'm going to do exactly what you said. I'm going to hang up on the call, but I'm going to listen on the radio.
All right. I'm going to give you the whole thing. All right. We got to go to a break. We're here on an open show, 410-922-6680.
This is Drew Tignanelli, host of Money, Riches, and Wealth, Wednesday nights at 6 p.m., doing what a personal financial advisor should do. Is your personal financial advisor your tax expert? Is your financial advisor able to guide your estate plan? Is your financial advisor able to help with college planning, retirement planning, mortgages, Medicare, Social Security, company benefits, or as a comprehensive advisor to business owners? Is your financial advisor independent from brokerage firms or insurance companies? Is your financial advisor unable to take commissions or referral fees in direct conflict of their professional relationship with you? Is your advisor a fiduciary working in your best interest? Despite the commissions and fees you pay, you're unable to answer one question yes. Do our financial physical and experience the difference. We are so confident that the financial physical is unconditionally guaranteed. To learn more, call 410-823-SAVE, 410-823-SAVE, or financialphysical.com.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
We're back, Money, Riches, and Wealth. We're here on an open show. Michael P. McCarthy is my co-host tonight. And I just wanted to say to Tom, we did a little homework on cashing double H bonds. And, you know, when you read this, you say, wow, this sounds pretty easy. You know, you complete a form FS-1522 and you send it off with your bonds and, you know, and that's it. And they'll just direct deposit the money in. But, you know, Tom sounded pretty sharp, Mike.
Yep.
And I'm sure he read that and I'm sure he has had a problem. And that's why he's trying to figure this out with them as to how to get it, you know, and so forth. And so I'm sure it's not as simple as this website is making it. And this is Treasury Direct that I'm reading this from. So anyway,
we were just commenting that you know, all these places are still using this signature guarantee stamp that almost no banks are offering to give anymore.
Well, they call it a certified, and we don't know what they mean by the word certified. So, but if it's signature guarantee, you're right, that is a difficult thing to obtain. Anyway, we got to answer John's question. So, anybody out there that's turning 65 years of age, the first thing you have to consider is, do you still have medical insurance with the company you work for? If you do, then the next question you got to ask yourself is, my company more than 20 people? It's got to be a relatively good sized company, 20 or more people. And then if so, you don't have to sign up for Medicare Part B. You don't have to sign up for Medicare Part A. But let's talk to those people like John, who's self-employed and has his medical insurance through his own little company. When you turn 65, this is what you're going to want to do. You know, he's going to want to sign up for Medicare A and Medicare B before October, to start in October. So he'd do it in August to sign up, and it will start in October, and they'll get him his Medicare cards. Once he gets his Medicare card, then he goes to a Medigap supplemental plan. The Medigap supplemental plan will cover anything that Medicare A and B don't cover. So Medicare A covers your hospitals. Medicare B covers your doctors. Medicare A you paid for out of your taxation for every year you've been working, and every year you continue to work, you'll pay Medicare taxes. That's for A, the hospital. Okay? That's what you paid for since you were a young child, working, doing whatever. Those taxes coming out were to pay your hospital bills when you turn 65 or older, okay? So Medicare B is for doctors. That you have to pay a monthly premium, and you have to sign up when you're required to sign up. Somebody who turns 65 and doesn't have medical insurance through a company of 20 or more employees has to sign up for Medicare Part B, or else they're going to be penalized, and you definitely want to do it. John's definitely going to want to do it. It's for doctors, and he's going to pay about $170 a month for Medicare Part B, unless his income's over, I think it's what, $185 this year, something like that, Mike? If he's married, he's married. If his income's over $185 or so, he's going to step up to the next rate, which is about $230 a month. And if his income's over $230,000, he's going to step up to the next rate. If it's over like $280,000, he's going to step up to the next one. If it's over like $350,000, he's going to step up to the next one. The highest it could be is if he goes all the way up to $750,000 of income, it would be $580 a month total for Medicare Part B. Okay? So Medicare B is for the doctors. Your Medicare supplemental, Plan G, is going to cover anything that Medicare A and B don't cover. All right? You're going to pay about $150 a month when you're 65 years of age. It just depends on which plan you sign up for. And there's little nuances on different plans. But for most people who go to a Medicare supplemental Plan G, now, if you're a Marylander, you're going to sign up for G if you want the best Medigap plan possible for a Marylander. If you're a Pennsylvanian, you're going to sign up for Medicare Plan N, as in Nancy. There's a reason for that. Pennsylvania doesn't allow excess charges on Medicare Part B to be assessed to you. Plan N will force you to pay the excess charges. Well, because Pennsylvania says it's illegal to charge excess charges, you can't charge them anyway. So why go with a plan that is going to force you to pay them when you can't legally pay them in Pennsylvania? So you don't want plan G in Pennsylvania, you want plan N. And the only other thing you would think about is if you really can't afford it and you want the cheapest Medicare supplemental you can get, you would go to Medicare Advantage. Now, I'm not personally a fan of Medicare Advantage, but I know a lot of people that just intend to stay in one area for the rest of their life. All their doctors are part of their Medicare Advantage plan, and they want to save some money, and Medicare Advantage can do that. For the average person that I work with, they want Medicare Original with Medigap, and that would be in Maryland Plan G, Pennsylvania Plan N. So I get my Medicare supplemental through USAA, you know, but in Maryland, I used to get it through Erie. I didn't get it for myself, but my wife is a year or two older than me, and she's gets it through Erie. And Erie does a great job with Medicare Supplemental, but there's other. Mutual of Omaha does a great job. But you have to be careful. Blue Cross and Blue Shield is the last company on earth I would let a client, or CareFirst, whatever you want to call them, I would not let a client sign up for CareFirst. Their premiums for Medicare, Medigap, is ridiculous, at least unless they've changed them in the last 6 months.
And all the plans are the same. All the G plans are the same G plan. Yeah, it's
absolutely.
Just how much the company charges.
Yeah, and you know, people think, Mike, that you know, when you were on your old medical plan, that if you were with CareFirst, you're a bit more doctors. Well, with Medicare, it doesn't matter. You can go to any doctor. Plan G is Plan G, whether it's CareFirst, Erie, USAA, Mutual of Omaha, it doesn't matter. If doctor takes you on Medicare, then the supplemental plan works no matter what. You don't have to worry about that it's CareFirst or whatever. It's a plan G is a plan G. And here's another misnomer before I finish on this. Here's another misnomer. A lot of people think that doctors don't accept Medicare. And that's a big misnomer. There might be somebody out there that completely will not take a Medicare patient. Okay, you're going to find those people. They're out there, but they're rare. Most people, though, will take a Medicare patient, but there are some doctors who say you have to prepay and we'll let Medicare reimburse you because I don't want to sit around and wait for Medicare to reimburse me. You wait for Medicare. I'm not going to wait for them. That you might get, but that's even a less common occurrence also. I've had it happen. But it's not a common occurrence. So anyway, Medicare, best plan you'll ever get. What do you think?
That's Medicare in 10 minutes or less.
There you go. Medicare in 10 minutes or less. I had another topic, and I forgot totally what it was. Do you remember?
Do you remember the topic that you were thinking of that you didn't say? No, I don't. But
I'll probably think of it right when we finish this show in 30 seconds or so. Nobody else is online either, right?
Nobody's online. Next Wednesday, person who was listening and thinking of calling, next Wednesday is your Wednesday to call.
There you go. Next Wednesday, we'll definitely do it. And I got to remember that topic I was going to talk about. It's right on the tip of my tongue, too, Mikey. Oh, it's the new Maryland tax credit that they're given. And I want to talk about how ridiculous
it is. We'll need more than...
You're going to need more time for me to rant about politicians in Maryland thinking they've given Marylanders this great benefit. It's certainly not horrible, but it's not as great as they make it out to be. Anyway, Mikey, we'll do that next week, okay?
Yep.
All right. This is Drew Tignanelli saying God bless.
What I'd like to do to you, shower the people you love with love. Show them. I